Good afternoon, Synod. We're going to now begin the rest of the day on legislative business, and I can see eyes sparkling with pleasure out there. We'll now take the final drafting and final approval stages of the draft mission and pastoral, etc., in brackets, amendment measure. Members will need the draft measure, GS 2014B, and the report of the steering committee, GS 2014Z. And I'm asked to draw your attention to the financial comment on this item at paragraphs 10 to 13 of the financial memorandum, which is on the sixth notice paper. I call on the Bishop of Willesden to move item 500, that the Synod do take note of this report. And Bishop, you have up to 10 minutes to address us.
Thank you. Pete Broadbent, Bishop of Willesden, Southern Suffragans, number 46. This particular bit of the debate is where I try and turn you all into Synod geeks, because we're looking at the report, which is 2014Z, and that deals with the final drafting. And as you'll see on the report, there are two sorts of amendment that can be made at this stage. There are drafting amendments and special amendments. And if you turn GS 2014Z over, you will see a fair amount of quite oblique commentary which explains what amendments are being made, and they are all drafting amendments. If you want to follow, the easiest way to follow what I'm putting forward is to look at the page numbers at the top of 2014B. Otherwise, you'll get lost in the paragraphs. So let me whip you through what's being proposed in final drafting and see what we get to. So the first bit you need to look at is clause 1 on pages 1 and 2 of 2014B. And what that does is to make sure that our new proposals for deanery plans are called up by the measure itself. So there are two places where we insert the word plans in terms of interested parties. Are you with me so far? Exciting, isn't it? You then go to clause 6 and page 8. And on page 8, there is a proposal there to make sure that if someone who does lose their office through past reorganisation and is appointed to an office with a higher emolument gets dealt with fairly and properly. On page 10, there's an amendment which clarifies something that was always intended, but which deals with the compensation provisions that are being put forward here, and are basically saying that if Archbishop's Council decides in the light of experience to adjust the compensation levels, it can't reduce them, it can only look at increasing them. In other words, it's not a way in which the Archbishop's Council could reduce compensation down to naught. I think we knew that anyway, but this is to make sure that everyone understands that that's the case. On page 16, there is an amendment which is collecting a drafting error, and on pages 22 and 28, there are consequential amendments to excite and make your blood run with sheer delight. I move that item 500, that the Synod do take note of this report.
Thank you, Bishop. This item 500, is therefore open for debate, and there is a 5-minute speech limit. Tiffa Robinson, please.
Tiff Robinson, Edmonton, Ipswich 209. Sorry to be back so soon. After this was first came to first consideration last February, I put forward a petition on social media to ask that the clause on compensation for dispossessed clergy be removed from the measure. Within 24 hours, it had 120 signatures and was submitted to the revision committee, which I was honoured to be appointed to. A lot of those who signed were younger ordinands, lots of lay people, plenty of clergy and synod members. It's been changed, and it's slightly better for those who are dispossessed, as they have 12 months housing and stipend plus the 6 months notice period to find an alternative post or, of course, alternative employment. But I wasn't really asking for more money for such clergy, though, but to keep the legislation to reorganise incumbents out of a job prohibitively expensive, unless a priest is near to retirement. But it's okay. I'm usually on the losing side of such debates, as I was earlier today, and I will vote in favour today. But I want to express as strongly as I can that this should not be used as a capability procedure by the back door. But that's against the rules, I hear you cry. It can't happen. And I would respond, yes, it is. Don't do it. It's dishonest and it's not appropriate for the Christian community. I hope where clergy really are in the wrong place, mutual agreement will always be the intended method to overcome this, or indeed improving our frankly useless capability procedures, which I would happily support. Let's improve the trust between parishes and the clergy who serve them, and those who make these decisions about pastoral reorganisation for the furthering of the mission of the church. Thank you.
I see no one standing, so therefore I ask the bishop to respond to the debate. You have 5 minutes.
I won't take that. Tiffa, thank you. You've been assiduous in pursuing this all the way through. I can assure you that there's a Privy Council judgment in the case of Cheeseman from some years ago. Some of you will remember the case where the Privy Council said, no, you can't use this particular clause in order to deal with capability. I agree entirely with him that our capability procedures are not good. We've looked at them. We may come back to them through the simplification process. But this is not a mechanism for doing what you can't do anyway. Who would I be to argue with the Privy Council?
Thank you. I therefore put item 500 to the vote. Would those in favour please show, please? Thank you. Would those against please show? That's very, very clearly carried. Therefore, we move to item 501, and I call upon the Bishop of Willesden to move that item, that the measure entitled Mission and Pastoral, etc. Amendment Measure be finally approved. Bishop, you have 10 minutes.
Pete Broadbent, Southern Suffragans, number 46. So this is the final approval stage of this wonderfully titled Mission and Pastoral, etc. Amendment Measure. You'll recall we had a fairly extensive debate at revision stage in July. What's now before you is something that enacts the next tranche of proposals from the Simplification Task Group. You'll recall that these stem from concerns expressed from dioceses in particular after we asked them about blockages to mission. Later on our agenda, we'll get to the revision stage of the draft legislative reform measure, which aims to streamline our consideration of these sorts of changes. Later still, we have another wonderfully titled measure, the Draft Representation, Ecumenical Relations and Ministers Measure. That'll be a first consideration debate on simplification of, among other things, church representation rules and the measure which governs the notoriously complicated ecumenical canons. So we're on our way with a programme of reform that will, I hope and pray, make a lot easier for incumbents and bishops and dioceses alike. Just to remind you what you're passing, this measure makes changes to consultation procedures on pastoral schemes and orders. It introduces the concept of a deanery plan for pastoral reorganisation, and it skims off the face of the measure various overstipulations about the ways in which teams and groups should operate. There are, as we've just been discussing, new provisions for the compensation of office holders displaced by pastoral reorganisation, and I think they do represent a good compromise which will enable fair treatment of such clergy without the previous compensation until the age of 70. And I think Tiffa's Facebook friends need not to worry quite as much as they clearly did at the time. It was helpful to work through that in Synod, and Clause 7 does give the Clause 7 of Schedule 4 gives the Archbishop's Council the remit to monitor the operation of these provisions in practice. Bishops' pastoral orders are new, and they enable a swift procedure for making changes to, among other things, boundaries and names. And the hope is that bishops will consult widely, locally, informally, come up with something that works at grassroots level, and then just do it. We're simplifying the way in which bishops' mission orders work, which will allow them to become more clearly part of the missional mixed economy church. These days, the Church of England is both parish and network, and that reflects the new normal. And a code of practice which accompanies these changes will need to be approved by the House of Bishops and by Synod in due course. Managing expectations on how far and wide we consult on glebe transactions is always difficult. We had that expressed in Synod. The measure makes consultation a bit simpler, but doesn't extinguish consultation completely. Here's something that we know from bitter experience can be a major cause of concern, particularly in rural communities. We also extend the period before lapse of presentation to a benefice from 9 months to 12, and presentation to a benefice on lapse will normally fall to the bishop in future. But there is built-in provision for the PCC to request that the Archbishop handles the lapse benefice as they do currently. It's a mixed bag, plenty of etc., but I commend the measure to Synod and ask that you vote in favour and give it final approval.
Item 501 is now open for debate, and those who wish to speak, please stand. Thank you.
Jonathan Alderton Ford, 207 St Edmunds Green, Ipswich. I trust that you can hear me. No? Right. Here we go again. I love exercise. Jonathan Alderton Ford, 207 St Edmunds Green, Ipswich. I rise to thank Bishop... forgotten his name now. The Bishop Pete and his team for doing a really, really good job. And I want to say my wife doesn't let me loose in the garden very much because what I like to do is to hack things down, and I enjoy it immensely. It's probably where I dispense the frustration I have with some of the organisation of the Church of England. But it's not just that you're clearing away the dead wood, you're giving us a set of sharp tools to do some very important work quickly and easily. It is central to the modernisation of our church to meet the pastoral needs we find in this century, and it should be thanked and supported and helped. I also want to say that one of my colleagues, sounding a little bit like a used car salesman, said, "This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity." Well, actually, on this occasion, it is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be part of the second reformation of the Church of England, reforming it to do the job God wants it to do here on earth. And I want to record my thanks and the thanks of many for the work of those who've done this and brought it to us today. Thank you.
I see no one standing, therefore I invite the Bishop to respond to that debate.
I think you have Thank you for your kindness.
Thank you. The question is that the measure entitled Mission and Pastoral etc. Amendment Measure be finally approved. In accordance with Standing Order 37, I order a counted vote by Houses.
I'm now about to ring the bell to all members that a counted vote is to take place. 2 minutes after it ceases, the vote will begin.
The question is that the measure entitled Mission and Pastoral etc. Amendment Measure be finally approved. This is a counted vote by Houses. Those in favour should press 1. Those against should press 2. Those who wish to record an abstention should press 3.
The voting period is now open and will end in 1 minute. The voting period will end in 15 seconds. The voting period has now ended.
Voting was as follows. In the House of Bishops, 23 in favour, none against, and no recorded abstentions. In the House of Clergy, 90 in favour, none against, and 2 recorded abstentions. In the House of Laity, 120 in favour, none against, and 1 recorded abstention. Therefore, it passed in all 3 houses. And now the Mission and Pastoral etc. Amendment Measure stands committed to the Legislative Committee. And thank you very much indeed. One down, more to go.